Financial Survival Network, helping you survive and thrive in the new economy. Go to carrielutz.com and sign up for 30 free micro trainings on financial survival.
The show is brought to you by Miles Franklin. When it comes to protecting your wealth, you know there's nothing better than gold and silver. And when I want gold and silver, I go to Miles Franklin because they've been around 22 years, and when you buy, they ship. For more information, go to milesfranklin.com or call them at 800-822-8080 and get a free quote. WGCH, this is Carrie Lutz, and you're listening to the Financial Survival Network.
These are uncertain, troubled economic times, and you need to take responsibility for your money. You need to be the CEO of your own money. And Dr. Alan Ellman of thebluecollarinvestor.com specializes in helping you take control. Dr. Ellman, how are you today?
Hi, Carrie. Thanks for the invitation.
It's great to have you on. What would you say is the core philosophy of thebluecollarinvestor.com?
Well, what we do is we're an educational group, and we teach stock investing with options. And the basic strategy that we use is called covered call writing. And covered call writing basically incorporates two strategies. It's owning stocks, which I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with, along with options selling. And I highlight the word selling because that intimates that you're generating cash when you do that. And basically what we do is we generate a monthly cash flow into our brokerage account by incorporating these two strategies.
And so when you sell a covered call, you own shares in the stock. Like, let's say you own 100 shares of IBM. I don't know what the price is now, but you sell a covered call so that if it goes over 100, that call is then in the money and the purchaser of that call can exercise, and then basically you're done with your shares. You get the $100 a share. And I understand you get income from that. Do you give up profits, too, in a covered call strategy?
Well, let me give you an example as to how this works, because there can be different outcomes depending on the price of the stock and the options contract you've sold. You used 100 shares, which is a great example, because 100 shares is the equivalent of one options contract. So let's say hypothetically, and we won't use IBM, let's just use any company. We buy 100 shares of company XYZ, and let's say we paid $48 per share. So our cost basis or investment would then be $4,800. Now, once we own the shares, we must own the shares first. We then sell the option. So what we're doing is we're selling the right, but not the obligation, for the option holder or buyer to purchase our shares from us at a price that we determine, called the strike price, by a date that we determine, called the expiration date. Now, in return for undertaking this obligation, we are paid a cash premium. And that cash premium is determined by the market. So in this hypothetical, if we bought the stock for $48, sold the $50 call, an average or typical premium would be $1.50. So for the 100 shares, it would be $150. Now, $150 on a cost basis of $4,800 represents a 3.1% one-month return. Now, that's entering the position. As far as the end result is concerned, there are two possible main scenarios. So let me go through them with you. The first one is, let's say hypothetically that the price of the stock never goes above the agreed-upon sales price of $50. Let's say, Carrie, it stays at $48. Now, the option holder is not going to exercise that option and buy our shares from us at $48, at $50, rather, if they could buy it at market for $48. So what happens is the option expires worthless. We keep the $150. We keep that no matter what. We keep the $150, and now we're free to sell another option the next month. The other possibility, let's say the price of the stock does go past 50. Let's say it shoots up to 54. Well, the option holder is going to exercise that option, buy it from us at 50, and then sell it at market for 54, thereby generating a profit. But we are we're the option seller, so let's look at this again through our eyes. We generated $150 on the sale of the option, which, again, we collect no matter what. Now we've made another $2 per share on the sale of the stock because we bought it at 48 and we sold it at 50. So our total cash profit for that month, remember we're talking 1 month, is $350. That represents a 7.3% 1 month return on the initial investment of $4,800. Now let me just add one more thing, Kerry. I'm not here to tell your listeners that there is no risk in this strategy. I am here to say that there is low risk in this strategy. If you bought the stock for 48 and sold the option for $1.50, if that stock price drops below 46.50, you could start losing money. However, we're going to have a whole series of exit strategies just waiting to either mitigate losses, turn losses into gains, or enhance profits. That's a very big part of my system.
Yeah, well, I like the fact that you have a cash flow from an asset that, unless it has a dividend, isn't really giving you a cash flow. That's a good thing. And I guess if the stock's going up, you're going to lose some potential upside. But if the stock has stayed level for a period of time and you've written a number of these options, it has to go up pretty high for you to be behind on the trade, right?
Well, what you're really saying is one of the disadvantages of covered call. You hit the nail on the head, and that is, what if the price of the stock goes to the moon? When you sell an option, what you're doing is you're limiting the upside potential of that stock. So in the preview example that I gave, we bought the stock for 48 and sold the $50 call. Now, I want your listeners to keep in mind, I'm talking about a one-month obligation now. That's in my system, I sell basically one-month calls for various reasons. The main one is you make the most money that way. But if you could generate, and I always say this, I say it in my books and my DVDs, don't get greedy. If you can generate a 3, 4, 7% return in 1 month, you shouldn't feel bad if the stock happened to go up, you know, higher than that. It's going to happen from time to time, but most of the time, depending on the historical volatility of the stock and the implied volatility of the option, most of the time, that's not going to happen. So once in a while, yes, the stock is going to go to the moon and you're going to may say to yourself, you know what, too bad I sold the option. I could have gotten a few more points. But generally speaking, you need to set your goal. And my goal is 2 to 4% a month. And if I could achieve that goal, I'm happy no matter what the price is. But you're 100% correct. That is one of the downsides of covered call writing, is you're limiting the upside potential.
But on the other hand, you're getting a guaranteed return in the present, which when you're holding that stock, you never know if it's going to go up or down, right?
That's true, but when you select your underlying, which is probably the most important part of covered call writing, you're going to want to select stocks that have the greatest potential for going up, and that's part one of my system, is not to select a stock based on the option return, which is a mistake that many covered call writers make, but rather on the quality of the underlying equity. Once you've established that you have a high-quality equity, then you could take a look at the option premiums and see if those premiums meet your goals.
Okay. And what about for stocks that are paying dividends? Is there a special, you know, not to like get the whole system, because I'm sure it's much more complicated than we can go into and extensive in the time that we have, but if you've got a good dividend-paying stock, is that something you should consider writing an option on necessarily?
Well, you're asking an excellent question, K, Kerry. And my response to something like that is, I wouldn't make a high dividend paying stock the reason for using that stock in this strategy. However, if the stock is paying a nice dividend, one of the advantages of covered call writing is that you, as the option seller and therefore the shareholder, you capture those dividends. And so the option buyer may control your shares, but you and your account will receive the dividend. Now, there are times when the option holder will exercise that option and purchase your shares earlier than you would anticipate because it's capturing that dividend. And there are actually ways to avoid this. We can't go into it in this venue. But the bottom line is this. I set my goal at 2 to 4% a month. And whether those shares are sold because of a dividend capture or I hold on to them, it doesn't matter to me as long as I achieve my goal. And I always tell people at my seminars and through emails and my articles and such, is that you have to define the strategy that you're using and focus like a laser on that one strategy. So if your strategy is dividend capture, then that's your strategy. If your strategy is covered call writing, then that's your strategy, and you shouldn't have it clouded by a stock that's giving a dividend and worrying about whether or not you're going to lose that stock or not. But let me come back to one other point, Kerry, and that is, once again, if you're doing covered call writing and you happen to use a stock that generates a dividend, it is you, the option seller and the holder of those shares, that gets the benefit of that dividend, not the option buyer.
Okay, so it's a disciplined approach to making predictable returns in the market. And I guess, like you said, you have loss mitigation techniques, because the other way that you could lose money doing this is obviously if the stock goes down. So you want to be in a position to limit those losses if they arise, right?
Yes, that's the main, you've generated a profit from the sale of the option. That cash goes into your account immediately. As soon as you type it on your computer that you've sold that option, within a second or two, that cash is now in your account. Managing that position over the next month is important because, as you said, what if the stock price goes down? It could go down more than the option that you've generated. So you've got to have exit strategies in place as what to do if the stock goes down. And let me turn it around. What if the stock price goes up? You mentioned before that one of the disadvantages of covered call writing is that you lose the upside if the stock goes way up. Well, actually, about 2 years ago, I developed a strategy. It's actually not in my first two books. I didn't think of this until after I published my second book, but it is in my third book. I developed a strategy where if the price of the stock goes well above the agreed-upon sales price, there's a way that you can actually close your position and generate a second income stream into your account in the same month with the same cash. And again, this is probably not an appropriate venue to get into it, but the point that I want to make to your listeners is that there are situations and exit strategies that you could use. If you bought that stock at 48, sold a 50 call, and the stock goes to 60, some kind of an announcement about FDA approval of a product or something of that nature, and it goes all the way up to 60, you can actually close that whole position at no cost to you and then take that cash and enter another covered call position in the same month with the same cash. So, you know, you hit the nail on the head, Kerry. You must have these exit strategies in place and view them as opportunities to decrease losses, opportunities to change losses into gains, and opportunities to enhance profits to even higher levels.
Well, sounds like a really interesting system, and it's taken you a lot of time to develop. How much money would somebody need to get started in this?
Okay, that's probably, Carrie, the number one question that I get asked at my seminars. So let me give you the short answer. I would say is about $15,000 to get started. But let me expand on that a little bit. One of the rules and guidelines that I have in my system is that you need to be diversified into at least five different stocks in five different industries, so that if one equity or one particular industry depreciates significantly, you have the other four to pull them back up again. So if the average per share cost of a stock, and I'm going to make it a little bit on the higher side, is let's say $50 a share, that means you're going to need $25,000 to get started. However, there is a way to get started with less cash, and that's with using exchange-traded funds. And most of your listeners probably know that these are mutual funds that behave like stocks, and many of them are associated with options. So because these ETFs are a basket of stocks, they are in and of themselves well-diversified, so you don't have to have five of them. So if you can, if you want to use exchange-traded funds, then you could probably get started with about $15,000 worth of cash, and then as your portfolio generates profit and builds up more and more and more, you can ultimately move into individual equities. Now, the advantage of using an ETF is that you need less cash, and it's less risky because there's less volatility with an ETF than with individual equities, because it's a basket of stocks. The disadvantage of an ETF is that because they are less volatile, the option premiums are lower. So when I use exchange-traded funds like I do in my mother's account, my goal is 1.5% to 2% a month, whereas when I'm using individual equities, it's 2% to 4% a month. And that has to do with the implied volatility of the options that we're selling. So a little more risk and a little more reward with individual equities, but less cash required with ETFs.
Well, that kind of leads me to the next question. You bill yourself as the bluecollarinvestor.com. It sounds like there's a lot of math involved here. How do people keep track of all this who might not have extensive training in securities investing?
Okay, it's interesting that you asked me that question, because when I'm doing my seminars and I start talking about covered call writing, I look out into my audience and I see all this excitement in their faces, and they want to get started like yesterday. And then I start talking about the calculations, and I watch their chins drop to the floor, because so many people are mathematically challenged or intimidated. And so what I did a few years ago was I worked with an accountant who's also an Excel spreadsheet expert, and I wrote out a series of equations based on my system. And he incorporated into a spreadsheet and developed what is now called the Elman calculator. And with the calculator, it makes the math and the calculations a non-event, because all you have to do is access an options chain, which is a list of options. And in my books and DVDs, I give free websites where to get this information. And then you just take that information and put it into the blue cells of the calculator, and all the math is done for you. So it'll generate what your option return is, what your upside potential is, like in the preview, in the example we gave, 48 to 50, and what your protection is on the downside. So it'll give you all this, all these calculations, and all you have to do is just enter five or six different numbers, which you get directly from an options chain, and everything else is done for you. And at the end of our interview, Carrie, I'll be happy to give my contact information, where I'll give all your listeners a free copy of my Elman calculator.
Sounds good. I mean, it's not everybody that I speak to that actually has a calculator named after them.
Well, it had different names over the years, but people kept on writing me, can I get a copy of the Elman calculator? So finally I said, okay, it's the Elman calculator.
And I guess the two final questions I have for you, and I hope they name something after me, like the the Lutz Gold Protector or something like that, or the Lutz Pocket Protector. I think I'd be honored with that.
Has a good ring to it.
Yeah, don't you think? I mean, when I was in a previous life and I used to find and track people's assets who had judgments against them, they used to say, Lutz that guy. But I was kind of a verb back then.
Uh-huh.
But so two questions are risk. Okay, how much risk do you really have? I guess I have three questions. First is time, and time ties into risk. How much time do you need to spend, and are you going to lose the rent money or the mortgage money doing this?
Okay, so capital preservation, time, and risk. Okay, as far as the time is concerned, let me give you a little parameter. Before my company started producing and doing all the screening for me and my members, I used to sit down on Saturday morning with my wife and the Investors Business Daily, and we used to screen the stocks. She would do part of it, and I would do part of it. I have a between 15 and 20 securities that I sell covered calls on each month, and I sell between 50 and 70 options contracts. This is each month. That's probably more than most and less than some. But my total before my company started doing the screening was between 5 to 7 hours a month to select the stocks, sell the options, and manage my positions. That's if you can master and you know what you're doing. And I only recommend to people to use this strategy if they've mastered the system. They know all the nuances. And everything is covered in my books and DVDs. Every little problem that can come up that I learned how to learn the hard way, I want for most people to learn, you know, without losing money. But in any case, if you're selling 5 stocks and 5 options a month, you're probably not going to have to devote more than an hour or two per month on this strategy. So it really depends on the size of your portfolio and the number of contracts that you're selling. Now, if you were to use the blue-collar screening service, then you wouldn't have to do the screening yourself, and that would reduce the amount of time dramatically. However, each person is very capable of doing this on their own if they have the time and they're so inclined. Mm-hmm. Now, regarding the risk is in the stock, not in the sale of the option. So, if we bought a stock for $48 and sold the call for $1.50, as we discussed before, our break-even is $46.50. If your next-door neighbor bought the stock for $48 and it started to go down, let's say it went down to $47, he's lost $1 per share and you're still up 50 cents. So there is risk, but the risk is less than just outright owning of stocks because you have downside protection. Now, just like owning stocks, you have to be prepared to act if the stock goes down. And that's, to me, when I started learning this system, was the major flaw in most other books on covered call writing. They had maybe 2 or 3 pages on it, but it's such a critical part of this strategy. So it motivated me, ultimately, to write an entire book on this one subject. It's called Exit Strategies for Covered Call Writing. And to this date, it's the only book ever written dedicated totally to this one concept of managing your positions in covered call writing. So if you have all these exit strategies for covered calls in place and you're prepared to act, your risk is minimized. It's not eliminated, but it's minimized because you're going to react. And let me just give you, do we have time so I can give you one quick example of how to do this?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's say, Kerry, hypothetically, let's go to our back to our preview example where we bought a stock for $48 and sold the 50 call for $1.50. Let me show you how this works. And I'm going to give, let's call this example, I actually use this term in my books because I'm a big sports fan. I call this hitting a double. So the stock goes, so you buy it at $48, you sell the $150 call. Now, all of a sudden, boom, the stock drops to $45. Now, when the price of the stock declines, so will the value of that option. Now, the $150 you keep no matter what. That's in your account already. Nobody could ever take that away from you. However, if you were to buy or sell that option, the stock drops to 45, now the value is 20 cents. So what you do is you buy back the option for 20 cents or $20 for the contract. Okay, so now what we do is we wait. Let's see if the stock pops back up. Well, lo and behold, a few days later, the stock goes back to 48. Now that option is worth $1.20. It's not going to be worth the 150 we sold it for because there's been some time depreciation on the option. So let's say hypothetically now the value is $1.20. We then sell the same option in the same month for $1.20, thereby netting another $100 per contract. Because it cost us 20 cents to buy back the option, generate a 120 from the sale of that same option a week later, let's say. That's $100 a contract. If you sold five contracts, that could be another $500 into your account, and all this took, once the education is finished, maybe 5 minutes.
Really?
So by instituting an exit strategy like this, and there are others, you know, what if the stock keeps going down? Well, you may want to close your position or sell a lower strike option. There are different things that I've thought of everything because I've been through everything. And every time I lost money, I said, how could I have fixed this? How could I have avoided this? How could I have mitigated the losses? And so everything is incorporated into my books and DVDs. But this is an example of, if you're prepared with an exit strategy, how you could minimize the risk that you asked me about.
All right.
That ties right into also your question regarding capital preservation. By doing these things, and there, you know, I touched upon a couple of things, but there are many more. By doing these things, you are preserving your capital. You're not eliminating risk, but you are minimizing risk like nobody's business when you've incorporated all of these exit strategies. And let me just throw one more thing in because we didn't talk about it, and that's what I call common sense principles. So you've been very generous with the time. Let me just throw one more thing in here, Kerry, and that is, over the years, I have been in positions where everything was going along great with the stock, my covered call. One day, all of a sudden, I take a look, and that stock dropped $8 in one day, and all my covered call profit was wiped out by that. And I would take a look, and I said, what the heck happened? And I would take a look, and eventually I realized, Earnings reports can take a stock and it could ruin your whole month's profits. So what I did eventually, it took me a while to do it. I wasn't a genius. It took me probably a couple of years too long. But I put a rule in my system, and it's probably one of the most important rules that I have, is never, ever sell a covered call option in a month when that company is going to report earnings. Let the earnings report pass, then sell the option if you like that stock. But don't sell the covered call. There's too much risk surrounding an earnings report. So that's one of the common sense principles that I've incorporated into my system, and also ties into your question regarding capital preservation.
Makes a lot of sense, for sure. And finally, what kind of returns can you get using your system conservatively? I understand it's subject to fluctuation and market conditions, but on average?
I set my goals, as I alluded to before, to 2 to 4% a month in normal market conditions. So if the stock market is going up between 0.5% and 1% a month, or about 10% a year, which historically it has, you can absolutely achieve 2 to 4% a month if you've mastered the system. Now, if you take a year like 2008, when the market was just tanked incredibly, you're going to lose money if you stay with the system. Well, anything in the stock market, you're going to lose money. If the market is very volatile, you have to be very careful with the type of options you're selling. There are different options with different agreed-upon sales prices. So when I'm in a volatile market, you could sell a different type of option than the one that I described to you before. For example, You buy the stock for 48. We talked about selling the $50 option. You can also choose to sell a $45 option. If you do that, without getting into too much detail now, you will still be generating your 2 to 4% a month, but you will be buying an insurance policy paid for by the option buyer that if the stock drops to 45, you've still made that 2 to 4% a month. What you're giving up when you sell a low strike price is that you're not going to get that share appreciation from 48 to 50. So, depending on the market tone, I call it in my books the market tone, if it's a bullish market, you're going to want to sell strike prices higher than the price of the stock. If it's a volatile or bear market, then you're going to want to sell strike prices that are lower than the current market value of the stock. And this is something that you will find nowhere else, this concept of how to approach covered call writing based on market tone and market volatility. I look at the VIX, I look at the technical chart of the S&P 500, and I look at economic reports every single week. And that's what I base my decision on as to what kind of options I'm going to sell. Now, at the beginning, to the newbie investor, it may sound extremely complicated, but I'm here to tell you and your listeners that I'm not any smarter than you are. I've just been doing this for a long time. I've learned a lot of lessons the hard way, and I've incorporated all these different nuances into the system that will allow for the capital preservation. Again, to respond to your question, in normal market conditions, my goal is 2 to 4% a month, and more often than not, you're going to achieve that.
Well, Dr. Ellman, I could go on talking to you about this all day, but we got to wrap up. If you're interested in learning more about the system of covered calls, what do you do?
Well, you can contact me directly at alan@thebluecollarinvestor.com or visit my website, thebluecollarinvestor.com. I offer a free tutorial. It's 8 videos. If you go to the website, look for Beginner's Corner, you can download free PowerPoints, and it'll explain the strategy in pretty good detail, and it's geared to somebody who really knows nothing at all about stocks and options. So that's up there on my website, and it's completely free.
All right.
If you want a copy of my calculator, write me at alan@thebluecollarinvestor.com, and just put free calculator in the header, and I'll be glad to email it to you.
That's even better. Well, we thank you for being on here, Dr. Ellman. It's been a real enlightening interview. I'm definitely interested myself, and I want to find out more about it. So hopefully a couple months down the road, maybe we'll talk again, talk about different stocks you might have purchased for the past couple of months and potential returns.
Look forward to it, and thanks for the invitation.
Thank you.
Take care, Gary.